A senior Orange man has warned Protestants against learning the Irish language, claiming it's part of the Republican agenda. Belfast County Grand Master, no less, George Chittick, made the comments as he addressed a crowd of protesters on the Woodville Road on Saturday. Here's what he said.
A word of warning to Protestants who go to learn Irish. They are working with Republicans. It's part of the Republican agenda. What do we think of the Republican agenda? No!
He later explained his words to the BBC's Mark Simpson.
I believe it's part of the Republican agenda. Eventually, they'll try and make it same as status as English. And you'll not be able to get a job unless you can speak two languages. As far as I'm concerned, our people, there's a lot of them wanting money, and they'll do anything for to get it.
So you were warning Protestants not to learn the Irish language?
That's correct. I can use Irish language as well. You know, I found a balla, clear the way, hope it's up the road there. On the Dirk of Bue, red hand of victory. And Chucky Arla, our time will come.
Are you speaking on behalf of the Orange Order?
Certainly.
What do you say to people that will find that very offensive?
What do you mean offensive? I'm only warning them of what happened in Europe. That's it, Hitler. That was just an excuse as a dating land. They were German speaking, so we went in. That could happen here.
But this is a language a lot of people would say that has to be cherished. It's got great historical tradition, and it's not political.
I'm sorry, it is political. It is political. It wasn't political. My predecessor, Dr. Rutledge Cain, was an ardent Irish speaker and signed the minutes of this County Grand Lodge in his Irish form. It wasn't a political language then.
You can't say everyone who is speaking Irish is doing it to make a political point, can you?
We're only saying the Republicans have made it a political on the agenda, political agenda.
And what in particular has sparked you to say this today?
Because I believe our people are running about and all they're doing is getting the money, funding. As far as I'm concerned, I don't believe funding. I believe the funding should go into other things, like getting people jobs.
Well, no one from the Orange Order was available to come onto the programme this morning. They did issue a statement. They said the Grand Orange Lodge of Ireland has no formal policy or guidelines for members regarding the learning of the Irish language. Rather, such a decision is instead a matter of individual conscience, they say. What is not widely known is that some Orange men throughout the history of the institution have actually been fluent or familiar in the use of the Irish language, say the Orange Order. Let's see what you think this morning. 0459 555 678. Jim Alistair from the TV with us this morning. Morning, Mr. Alistair.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Nolan.
And the commentator Jude Collins is with us too. Morning to you, Jude.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Jim, is there any merit in what Chittick is saying here? That there's somehow something wrong with learning the Irish language and indeed it's part of the Republican agenda. Where's he get that from?
Well, I think he gets that from, if you go back to the formation of the Gaelic League, formed over 100 years ago to promote the Irish language. It very clearly, when you read the literature of the time, was launched to demonstrate anti-Britishness. And since then, of course, it has been deployed in that way. And to bring it right up to date, it's not so long ago since a prominent Sinn Féin person said that every word spoken in Irish is another bullet fired in the freedom struggle.
Who said
so
that?
I think it has this unfortunate history of having been politicised, particularly by Sinn Féin, to the point where now Sinn Féin almost seek ownership of the Irish language. And, you know, every day in the Assembly, I see them do death bite to the Irish language. It's not that they have a great love for the Irish language, because some of them patently can't even speak. We get a long cash version of pidgin Irish from some government ministers. And when you listen to other...
You're an expert in Irish now, are you?
Sorry, no, but when you listen to other skilled Irish speakers like Dominic Bradley or Patsy McGloan, you can tell the distinction between those who really know and love the language and those who are but using it as a political for political purposes. And that has been part of the agenda of Sinn Féin for some years, to politicise Irish. I have no difficulty with anyone wanting to learn any language. I would suggest to anyone, rather than pursuing a language that will never give you economic benefit, they might pursue a language which might just bring them some economic benefit. But if they want to learn what, to all intents and purposes, for economic purposes, is a dead language, that's a matter for them. Where I do object is the state especially giving favoured funding to the promotion of such a language, such as we have in the promotion and the favoured funding to the Irish medium schools. That's not going to give kids a start in life in terms of finding jobs, which really should be the most important thing. That rather is to pander to a particular political agenda which has politicised the Irish.
Do you have a problem with Protestants speaking Irish?
No, anyone who wishes can speak Irish, but I do think that people like Linda Irvine are a gift to Sinn Féin, because they allow them to peddle this myth that the Irish language is for everyone, when patently they have hijacked it for their own political purposes.
I'm sure she would deny that and say people have every right.
But I would point out that
to learn whatever language they want.
The judgment of the PUP has been flawed in a number of issues. Not so long ago, they were voting for designated days. Now, happily, they're opposed to designated days. So I think their judgment on a number of matters has left a lot to be desired.
Jude?
Well, let's get to this phrase that's been bandied around, hijacking the Irish language. You can't hijack a language. It doesn't make sense. You can hijack people, or you could hijack, say, a physical object like a plane, but you can't hijack a language. And for people to say, I won't learn Irish because Republicans use it, you know, that makes as much sense as saying, I won't learn French because the Marquis de Sade spoke it, and I'm not a sadist, or I won't learn German because Hitler used it, and I'm not a Nazi. It simply doesn't make sense. There are many things which divide us, many things, culturally and politically. But the Irish language is something that everybody can share. In fact, if it's any consolation to the Orange Order, in the mid-19th century, the Catholic Church was one of the forces trying to eradicate the Irish language. They wanted to, and this is a quotation, stamp out any lingering semi-pagan remnants. So there was a stage where the Catholic Church was opposed to the Irish language. So it's not a Catholic thing or a Protestant thing. It is a language which we all share a wonderful heritage, and I think Linda Irvine is doing superb work in East Belfast, and long may it continue.
Jim, do you think George Chiddick was right or wrong in what he said?
I think he is absolute entitlement to say what he wishes to say.
Well, he's entitled to say it or not. Was he right or wrong in what he said?
Well, I think if he was saying that the Irish language has been hijacked, and you can hijack a language as you can hijack anything else. If he was saying that the Irish language has been hijacked by Sinn Féin, then he is right, because that's exactly what they have done. They have taken it, and the quote I gave you of every word spoken is another bullet in the freedom struggle makes that point very, very vividly. And that's exactly what they set out to do and what they have achieved to doing, and have now arrived at the situation where they've favoured funding for it to the point and the detriment of, for example, other things much more necessary in education and much more necessary in our economy.
Well, if we're coming to things of economy and we learn things for economic reasons, I can see there's sense in that. But if you're going to use that as the only criterion, Jim, you'd have to then abolish music, art, other subjects, drama, for example, which wouldn't have economic benefits for children. I mean, there are... economics is very important.
If we want to talk about real living languages that can advance people, well, maybe in Northern Ireland, it's some of the real minority languages that we should be looking at. You know, there's undoubtedly much more Polish and Mandarin spoken than there is Irish. Who speaks Irish in order to get a job? Now, of course, it would be the ambition, I'm sure, of Sinn Féin that maybe you should. But in reality, other than within the linguistic sector, it's not going to bring jobs to anyone. So it is a political agenda that's been peddled for political purposes, and that is why they have latched onto the Irish language and sought to make it their own as part of another bullet fired in the freedom struggle.
If you believe that the Republicans have hijacked the Irish language, why not hijack it back? There's nothing to prevent you doing so.
Why would I be bothered in terms of what my constituents need is economic stability, they need jobs, they need good housing. How is learning Irish going to do anything for that? It's going to do absolutely nothing in that regard. So I'm interested in serving the needs, the real needs of people, not these trumped up fancy notions that arise nothing but advance a particular hijacking political agenda.
Richards and Whitehead, go on, Richard. Morning to you.
Hi, good morning. I'd like to ask the gentleman, the Irishman, who's sort of irate about Gaelic, is he of Scots descent? Are you of Scots descent?
Am I of Scots descent?
Yeah. Are you not
Scottish? Well, there are Scottish people in my background, yes.
Yep. And what was their ancestor language?
I would say probably the most of them was Irish.
And Gaelic?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your ancestors spoke about, you're complaining about it. But
I'm not complaining about the Irish language. I want the Irish language to be promoted. I think it's a good thing. It's a wonderful treasure we all can share.
I think you're wanting to speak to Jim Allister, Richard. Michael, Michael's next. Morning, Michael.
Good morning. Just to challenge the outdated, ridiculous comments both by Mr. Chittick on Saturday and again by Jim Allister. My son is going through Irish language medium education for me as a child, done incredibly well at his GCSE, got 10, doing his A-levels, and as a result of his Irish language, will be able to walk into a job if he decides to go into media, law, or translation in Europe, where they're crying out for people with that language.
You can speak directly to Jim Allister. There's the point. On the ground, Jim Allister, this man's son's benefiting from being fluent in Irish.
Well, I think he will find, when his son comes to find a job, that the number of linguistic opportunities, of course there's some there, but they're very limited. I would have thought if you're looking for a job in Europe or elsewhere, and I've been there for some time, I would have thought you'd be wanting to speak French or Spanish or something that is a living, working language, not some language which is just not a language which isn't really used, which is used only by and large for ceremonial or political occasions, but it's not
okay.
A working
well, let Michael
language,
speak to
his
you.
Son will find that.
Well, as I say, he will get a job in Europe with, or people like him with, the quality of Irish that he's been taught in Belfast. He will get a job as a solicitor through the medium of Irish, and he will definitely get a job in broadcasting if he has his qualifications as Gaelic. That's the truth. I'd like to also challenge you on another thing. Where would you speak it in Belfast? I was out on Saturday night in a number of places, listening to a bit of music, having a bit of crack. I was doing all of my conversation with hundreds of young people, Askeliga, in Irish. You are absolutely out of touch with the reality. Belfast is the largest urban Gaeltacht in Ireland. It is a living, thriving language, and I'm delighted, I'm absolutely delighted we're soon to be joined by more and more people from East Belfast, etc., etc. And that's what the problem is. Chittick and yourself are absolutely scared stupid of people coming together. Get real. Get into the future. Stop living in the past.
Sorry, it's nothing about people coming together, indeed. Let's look at the surveys
of
people who send their children to Irish medium schools.
Scared of it.
And the vast majority indicate they do it because they want to demonstrate a political point. So I think even that illustrates just how politicized promotion of the Irish language has become.
And like everything that happened in your Northern Ireland state, Jim, it was in defence of civil rights, voting, housing, language rights, being seen as equals in our own part of the world. That's what it was all about. And if that's political, absolutely we were doing it like that. And we've won, I'm delighted to say, because our children are being educated in the medium of Irish. The importance of it is being seen everywhere, indeed, including places like East Belfast, where they see the value of bilingual education. Your time's over.
Well, there you are. You've just confirmed that the promotion of Irish was part of a political agenda. And I think I've known that for many years.
Like fighting for one man, one vote, like voting for the end of housing discrimination.
Nothing like one man, one vote. It's not a fundamental issue affecting the right of people to earn a livelihood and all of that and to live in a democratic society. Something that has been trumped up into far beyond what it is.
Your former leader alluded to it during his famous interview with Eamon Mali when he said, this place wasn't okay. Let's get real here. There was discrimination at every level. He said it. You know it. You helped him. You helped keep it going.
And he doesn't speak for me, I assure you.
But he used to. And he spoke for so many people. It's amazing how you ditch him when he starts talking a wee bit of truth, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think that's a commentary in itself.
Aye.
There we are.
Linda Irvine's with us this morning, the Irish Language Development Officer in East Belfast. Morning to you, Linda.
Morning.
Good morning. Jim Allister has said that what you're doing is a gift to Sinn Féin.
Well, coming from the Irvine family, you know, we have a history of being attacked by some unionist politicians. My brother-in-law was attacked too for the work that he did. I don't believe I'm a gift for Sinn Féin. I believe, you know, what I'm doing is I am disarming those who would use the language as a tool of their conflict. The language we have a shared heritage. The language belongs as much to my community as it belongs to the nationalist community. And I'm returning the language to where it rightfully belongs, to a state of neutrality. Obviously, if Mr. Allister read about more, he would understand that the Gaelic language is spoken all over the British Isles. If you're looking for the largest Gaelic-speaking region, you don't even find it within Ireland. You find it in Scotland, where 80% of speakers are from the Protestant tradition. Now, I think it's sad that people have used it in a political way. I don't like that, but that's why I want to change that, and I want to disarm them. People like Mr. Chittick and Mr. Allister want to keep Sinn Féin in that position of allowing them to hold on to the Irish language and to use it for their purpose. I don't want that. I want to disarm that and change that and give it back to people.
Let me let Jim speak to you.
Well, Mr. Allister talks about democratic rights. I claim my democratic right as a Protestant, as British, and as a unionist to use the Irish language, to use the Gaelic language, the language that is off this land, off Scotland, and off other parts of Great Britain as well.
Well, I must say, I think it's extremely naive to think that, given that there is a very clearly laid out political agenda by Sinn Féin, where they do believe that, and this is why they've been promoting the Irish language, that every word spoken is another bullet in the freedom struggle. I think that when they find somebody on the Protestant Union's community, they're perfectly entitled to learn Irish if they wish, but I don't think they should be doing it on the public payroll. But where they find someone prepared to divert attention from their political agenda, of course they are a gift to them. Of course they enable them to make the point, the spurious point, that the language is for everyone when they have so carefully and meticulously hijacked it. And that's why I say that Linda is a gift to Sinn Féin.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Allister.
She's letting them off the hook in that regard, affording them that opportunity. And in truth, you know, what is the Irish language going to do for anyone in East Belfast, where we have high levels of unemployment, where we have people living in quite appalling social conditions, probably going to be worsened by some of the aspects of welfare reform, and the Irish language is what we offer them? I don't think that's doing anything for them.
Well, I think, Mr. Allister, before you give your opinion from a place of ignorance, you need to come along and see our classes. You need to come along and see the mix of people that we have, people coming together in a social way, the enjoyment and the pleasure they have. But let's get rid of art classes. Let's get rid of gardening classes. Let's get rid of all those things that give people pleasure and enjoyment. Now, within my role as Irish Language Development Officer, I also promote Ulster Scots. I also promote Scots Gaelic because we draw on it all within Northern Ireland. And one of the things I do is I promote peace. And I'm proud that I promote peace. And I don't want to go back in time and go back to divisive politics where I put people against people. I am proud that I come from a family that has always promoted peace and always put their head above the parapet. And when you do that, you do get shot down and you do get criticism. But there you are. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I promote peace. And peace is...
Well, I must say, I don't understand what the nexus is between promoting and promoting the Irish language. I think one can be as enthusiastic about peace and make the point of the abuse of the Irish language and the politicising of the Irish language as well as someone who wants to promote the Irish language.
Jerry Sinderry. Morning, Jerry.
Depoliticise. We depoliticise the language.
Morning, Jerry.
I would just like to ask Jim if he thinks the Irish language has no real relevance, it's politically orientated. I would just wonder where that leaves the Ulster Scots language or dialect or whatever. I'd be interested in your opinion on that.
Yeah, I must say, my own view is that the Ulster Scots is more a culture than a language, and I also struggle with the difficulties of funding as a quid pro quo aspects of the Ulster Scots language, as it is called, in order to solve the situation of promoting the very politicised Irish language. I certainly recognise an Ulster Scots culture. I struggle more to recognise an Ulster Scots language, which should be advanced and promoted in schools or anywhere else, where, of course, it is but a very poor relation to the politicised Irish language. We don't have any Ulster Scots medium schools, nor should we have, but we certainly do with favourite funding. Irish medium funded schools.
And Jim's next.
It takes less pupils to start a school than it does in any other sector.
James, morning to
less,
you.
Less pupils to sustain a school.
Go ahead, James.
Which is the favouritism shown to the Irish medium language.
Morning, James.
Hey, good morning. From Banbridge. As one James to another James, McAllister. Did he ever.
I don't know who James McAllister is.
Sorry.
It's Jim Allister.
Oh, sorry. It's James. Alistair, sorry about that, James. Did you ever read history from the 1600s?
I've read quite a lot of history, thank you.
Pardon?
I've read a lot of history, including the history of the Gaelic League.
Well, have you ignored it? Because you're ignoring it. Because English was promoted to the detriment of Irish, and Irish was unpromoted. That's a new word, probably. Unpromoted by the English invaders, who from 1600 on wouldn't feed the natives, who they were starved out of their houses and thrown off their out of their houses by landlords when they didn't refused to give up their Irish language.
Do you not find it slightly depressing, James, that given everything that we need to sort out in this country?
Yes.
Here we are fighting over someone's right to speak what they want to speak, what they want to learn.
Exactly.
What they want to
It's a matter of personal preference. Now, Irish is, I found Irish, I was taught by the Christian Bros in Uri through the 40s and 50s, and I found Irish was a difficult language because of its grammar and all its nuances, and I'm still struggling with speaking it fluently today. But you've got to make an effort for your own culture and for your language is central to any culture. And in the Good Friday Agreement, James Allister would have to agree that an Irish was supposed to be given its right place in Ireland today. But it hasn't been verified by the unionist population, politically.
James, thank you. John McAllister from NI21 with us this morning. Morning to you, James.
Morning, Stephen.
Sorry, John. What do you make of what Chittick
has
said?
Well, you have an interesting discussion. I'll pick up a couple of things. It's your last caller there actually made the point about the Good Friday Agreement. Most of our problems at the minute and over the last 18 months have come from a place that we've moved away from the agreement. We've stopped believing in it. We've stopped promoting it. And all of this is the outworkings of Mike Nesbitt, Peter Robinson, talking about a culture war and all of those things. We let Sinn Féin hijack the language. And I would actually commend Linda Irvine on the work that she's doing and said, hang on a second, this is our language. How dare you try and hijack or use this? This belongs to all of us. And that's the reason that I opened my conference speech with a line in Irish, was to actually say we would change that. It is different. You listen to what Jim Allister's saying, even on the question of Ulster Scots. We end up perpetuating the us and them divide. So if we give a pound to this, we have to give a pound to the other side. Instead of, is this enriching our lives? Is this part of our culture? Is this part of our heritage that we should be hanging on to?
Jim?
At the minute we're in a place, Stephen, that we're saying that this language belongs to republicanism. We're going to ban plays and theatres. We're all over the place on all of these issues. That's something we have to get back to the Good Friday Agreement and
okay.
actually start to build okay. a sense of one community here, not two communities, and that everything flows from that.
Okay. Jim Alistair, just before you go this morning, and just before we go to the news today, can I just get your reaction to the Sinn Féin councillor who has been teaching at the boys' model? This is a story we're going to be looking at later on in the programme today. Have you any objection to a member of Sinn Féin teaching in a school?
Well, what I have objection to is that within the education sector, particularly the Catholic education sector, it is outwit the fair employment legislation that we have, that there is special exemption in order to protect the maintained schools, whereby you can't bring a case of religious discrimination if you, as a Protestant, for example, are denied a teaching role in a Catholic school, that you can't bring a case because you haven't got the prescriptive Catholic certificate in education and are denied a job in that regard. So there's much to be done in order to bring a level playing field to education.
Sure.
But
of course, the question is about this specific story, Jim.
For years, that has been allowed to ferment and has never been addressed. It's time it was addressed.
Have you an objection to...
No one in any school should be subject to intimidation or threat. But I think we do want to create a proper level playing field in education, and that requires introducing the fair employment legislation to the education field and ending the discrimination which flows from something like
okay.
the Catholic Certificate of Education.
Do you think a Sinn Féin councillor has the right to teach in a state school? In other words, anybody has a right to teach no matter what their political affiliation is.
Well, I think that anyone should have a right to teach in any school, but sadly we don't have that situation because we deny the availability of the equality legislation and fair employment legislation to schools in order to protect the Catholic sector. And that's been why since the mid-1970s, when the fair employment legislation came in, Catholic schools, for example, are exempt from that, so that they can employ Catholic teachers
sure.
who only have the Catholic certificate to teach.
Sure, but I'm not actually hearing a direct answer here, Jim.
A direct answer. We shouldn't have discrimination anywhere in the education sector. Sadly, we have institutionalized discrimination in the maintained sector by the retention of the Catholic certificate for education. So let's address every issue, including that one.
But a state school is meant to welcome all, isn't it?
Yes, and so should anyone, any sector of education, because it's all publicly funded. Let's not forget, it's Joe Public who's paying for it all. So we shouldn't have a situation where part of the education system is exempt from the Fair Employment Laws. And yet that is exactly what
okay.
we have.
So
we need that level playing field to be addressed.
So maybe it's my fault. Let me just finally put the question a different way. Has a Sinn Féin councillor got the right to teach in any state school?
Anyone has the right to teach in any school, or should have, but sadly they don't. Because under the situation that we have, we don't have fair employment legislation applying across the board within the maintained sector. And let's address that. I'm sure any teacher is not employed because they're a counsellor for this party or that. I'm sure they're employed because they have the capacity to teach. And that's the basis upon which they're employed. Whether they're a political person or not shouldn't come into it. But sadly, much more than that comes into it in education, because if you are a young teacher coming out of Stranmillis Training College and don't have the Catholic certificate of education, then you needn't bother applying to teach in any maintained school.
Okay.
And that's where the real inequity is.